Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbite. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 8th of April, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use at 8 minutes after the hour. The mighty Glenn Lambert. Come on, Glenn.
I'm glad he didn't say out.
I'm sorry. That was so rude. I don't know why I said, did you ever just say something? They do the computers of the White House. It's a little White House, not it? And, you know, news guys try to be funny, and it never works. Have you noticed that?
That's all right. Robin Williams can't read the news. So I think we're all together on that. So I think we're good.
All right.
Before we get to the phones, you know the numbers. You know how to call in and what to say. But before we do any of that, let us start with the news. A woman from Washington State named Diane Kelly has filed a class action suit against Microsoft over their deceptive and unfair use of the Vista-capable stickers, demanding $5 million. This week's jackpot, $5 million. She cites violations of Washington's Consumer Protection Act, as well as the corresponding Consumer Protection Acts in the other U.S. states. What the suit claims is an established fact. Microsoft started a Windows Vista-capable campaign about a year before the release of Vista in order to assure consumer buyers would be able to upgrade to Vista when the operating system was released. The problem is, Windows Vista capable meant, in most cases, able to install a bare Windows OS. Most of these PCs can't run properly or can't run at all other versions than the Vista Home Basic, which has been described by one reviewer as the most pointless edition of Windows that Microsoft has ever released. Later, beginning in October 2006, Microsoft embarked in its Express Upgrade promotion, under which purchasers of PCs that Microsoft certified as Windows Vista capable were promised a free or reduced-priced upgrade to Vista when it became available. In fact, that version was Home Basic and lacks all the features that Microsoft has touted as radical improvements over previous operating systems. That's right from the suit itself. In sum, Microsoft engaged in bait and switch, Diane Kelly claims. Nowhere does Microsoft spell out clearly which versions of Vista run on Vista-capable machines, which is why figuring out which PC is best suited to running which version of Vista is such a chore. The minimum requirements are several gigabytes of disk space, at least 1 gigabyte of RAM. The actual requirements, according to pretty much everybody on the Internet, including us, is at least 2 gigabytes of RAM, at least a 3 gigahertz P4 equivalent, and a powerful video card such as the 7000 series from NVIDIA or the corresponding ATI.
But see, here's where Microsoft will get off with it. They said the same thing about Windows 98 and Windows 2000, Windows XP. All they're saying is, well, here's the scenario. You and I get on the thruway.
Right.
From Rochester. We're headed to Buffalo. I'm doing 65. You're doing 30. We're both going to get to Buffalo, but I'm just going to get there faster because I have a faster computer than you're saying.
Right.
You
right.
know, say we're both running Windows XP. You've got 128 meg, and I've got a gig.
Right.
I'm going to get there faster because I have more. It will still run. You're not being told that it won't run. It will run.
Right. Right.
But is it a level to
right? You're going to be very disappointed in the performance and in the experience you get, but it does work.
Well, I've got a client right now, a laptop. He dropped it off on Thursday and said, well, yeah, I want you to clean it up and everything else. Well, you could see it from the sticker. Originally, I had my beloved operating system, Windows ME.
Congratulations.
Yep. And he put XP on it. And he's still only got 128 meg. And he's been calling the past couple of days. Is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? No, it's still running the scans and that because you've only got 128 meg of memory.
And he doesn't want to upgrade. Because it should run fine. Microsoft says it'll run.
Yeah, it'll run. Yes, it will run. Yep. But it's going to take a lot longer to do things.
We have some machines at work that are rated Vista capable, and they run the Vista experience meter thing.
Yeah.
1.0. There's really no point in upgrading because you don't get any of the cool features.
None whatsoever. But he's not wrong. It will run. It
will run. It does run. It absolutely runs. And that's anyway. There's now a lawsuit about that. This Diane Kelly does not think that's fair advertising. We'll see. Depends on what the government says. This is now in the hands of the lawyers.
Dell and a lot of the major companies were touting a lot of the machines, and it comes with right towards the end there in December, and even into part of January, they were offering sending you the sticker or this piece of paper where you're entitled to the Vista upgrade. Well, what they don't tell you is, along with it, because the processor will handle it. But then you get into, I got to add more memory. I probably got to do a better video card.
Right. Well, all you get is basic, which doesn't actually do much of anything. But what I don't understand is why Microsoft did that. I truly don't get that, because all they do is end up with disgruntled users. That's all they get out of this.
Well, the other thing that I'm hearing that's upsetting a lot of folks, now, if you're going from 98 up to Vista, you got to learn something new anyways.
Right.
But going from XP to Vista, what a lot of people are complaining to me, and I didn't write the code, folks.
You're right.
They switch things around. Like the add-remove programs, which has been add-remove programs for eons,
right,
is now under another icon called program control. They move things around and renamed them.
Right.
For no real good reason.
Yeah, this is the real problem, is that everything you know is wrong.
And it's been moved.
And it's been moved around, and they've changed the names, and all the interface is all different. And what many people are saying is that this is an opportunity for the Macintosh and Linux folks. Because as long as you're going to have to learn something brand new anyway, why bother to stick with Windows?
Yeah, exactly. They're making it tougher.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright. Steve Ray is apparently not here for whatever reason. Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you at 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Call 102 on WHAM.
Pulling them out of wherever, aren't you? Welcome back to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Rob Linton. Wherever
I
is
don't
right.
Want
right.
To know.
It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites. Before we get to the phones, we got a couple people on the line. This week, Microsoft had to jump the gun on its monthly release of software patches because of troubles being stirred up by animated cursors in Windows. You know, that's where the little hourglass or
that's
the,
what you're
you know,
paying all that extra money for, is that group.
Exactly. Cyber crooks were slipping through a hole in those animated cursors, believe it or not, to attack Windows PCs. As it turns out, the cursor patch itself was also a bit of a troublemaker. Tuesday's release of that critical patch prompted some security experts to chide Microsoft for its claims about the security capabilities of Vista. As far as software vulnerabilities go, Vista's cover is blown, said a vice president at Determina, the company that discovered the bug. It is not Superman, it is just a human being. Vista is going to be very similar to the other operating system Microsoft has delivered in terms of bugs. And we've been saying that all along. There's way too much code for anybody to guarantee that it's clean.
I mean,
that's true of every operating system.
Yeah, I mean, hello, there's not.
You know, we're not going to single them out, but they single themselves out by saying that they're bulletproof, and they're not.
There is no software package out there that is bulletproof. I'm sorry, I don't care whether it's PC, Mac, or anything else. They can find a different hole or something else, because nobody can write perfect code. It just doesn't happen, because they got to interact with so many other things nowadays.
Right.
That's what makes it a lot harder to do.
Yep. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Linda from Grace, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Nick, I'm glad to see you back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Are you feeling better?
I am. Thank you.
Okay, my question is, I got a new computer, and it doesn't have Vista on it. I had it built with Windows XP on it. I'm trying to import all my songs. The little thing comes up on the screen that says pick one, but iTunes is not in there. So I went into my computer, and there used to be a thing called Open With. It's not there anymore. I'm having a hard time doing this because I don't get that open with when I go into my computer, you know, and you click on it, and, it's supposed, and it gives you a whole list. It's supposed to say open with. I don't see that anymore.
So you right-click on something and you don't see open with.
I right-click on my computer. I open my computer and go into the drive.
Right.
Okay. And I'm supposed, you know, it says open, play. There used to be something open with, and I could pick iTunes. It's not there anymore.
If you hold down the shift key, or is it the control key? One of the keys, control, alt, or shift, while you do that right click, should give you the open with.
Okay, I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, that's yet one of those.
And the other thing is, Linda, when the you went from the old computer to the new computer, did they do a file and transfer settings for you?
That I don't know.
Because normally, if you use the file and transfer settings program from your old computer to your new one, it takes all your settings. It remembers a lot of the stuff, like your emails and your
bookmarks. Oh, no. That I know they didn't do.
Now, if they had done that, you would have also gotten a lot of your other stuff, your settings and your, you know, like your right-clicking on it and the open with, because it remembers all your stuff in your folder, and it would have brought all your documents, all your tunes, everything over.
No, I know they didn't, because I backed up all my iTunes to DVD because, what they did was I had... Make a long story short, I had an old computer. I'm just upgrading it, you know, with all the stuff. Well, the president of the company, I won't name the company, she dropped it, my computer. So she had to give me a whole new one with all new stuff. So I got a new computer when I wanted it.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But I would try using that, and I forget which key it is. It's either control or alt or shift. When you hold that down, then right click, you should get an open with.
Yeah.
So give that a try and let us know. Our next caller is Chet from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Chet. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning. I have a Windows XP professional version on my computer. Now I found out it was too much for the computer I have. So basically, I want to wash it out, and I wanted to know what is the best process.
What did you have on it before?
A Windows.
Yeah, what version?
Home version. It was old, which came
then,
with the...
There's not much different. If you got Pro there... And, you know, whether you've got Pro or you got Home, your system requirements
are the same.
It's just that Pro had more security in it for a corporate network. So if you were on a corporate network, you could log into a corporate network and get at various drivers.
No, I am just a retiree. I don't use corporate network or anything.
Right.
Well, but the point is, if you replace Pro with Home, it really won't change anything.
Yeah, it doesn't do squat for you.
I see.
Because they're basically the same code. The only difference is Pro has a few extra features, which since you're not using, they don't come into play anyway.
Yep.
So otherwise, it'll be the same. Now, what kind of computer do you have?
I have Gateway 2000. It takes a long time to even get to the internet. You know.
Yeah, do you have
how much memory?
How much memory and how fast is the processor?
Processor is pretty old, and they did upgrade memory. Local computer store did. But looks like it is still not enough. I'm ready for a new computer, maybe.
Yeah, I would. I'm sorry, but I would have to suggest that. The problem is, there really comes a point where you just can't keep piling stuff onto the old machines anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like you've got a Volkswagen Beetle. It's a great machine, but you're not going to be hauling a lot of trailers with it.
That's right. So my next question will be, what should be the basic requirements for the new computer?
You want to have at least a gigahertz of processor, and two or three would be better.
Okay.
You want at least, for XP, you want at least a gig of RAM, but at some point, you're probably going to want to go up to Vista, so you want 2 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
You want a good high-end video card.
Okay.
The 7000 series from NVIDIA.
Yep.
Okay.
Any one of those 7500, 7600, whatever that is. And those are mainly the things you need. That's it. You need speed in the processor, lots of RAM, and a good video card.
But the thing that is, though, is you can still find places that, you know, even we're still doing it, doing custom builds with only XP on them.
I see.
Instead of being forced to go to Vista.
Right.
And then being told some of your stuff won't work.
Okay. Now, I know you were just talking to the young lady about file and remove transfer settings.
All right, yeah. With you've got, currently got XP on your machine?
Yes.
Yeah. XP will, the file transfer setting will only work in Vista with XP.
Okay.
It won't work with any machines running Windows 2000, 98, ME. It only works, supports XP.
Okay. So thank you for your help. Have
okay.
a great day.
Yep, you're welcome.
We enjoy your show really quite a bit.
Thank you.
That's what we love to hear. Thanks. That's an interesting problem with, we keep saying it, everybody who upgrades, there really comes a point, the price of poker keeps going up, there comes a point where you have to abandon your old machine, and I know people hate to do that. You've made an investment in that machine,
and it's
spent a lot of time.
What they wanted
exactly,
to do.
Exactly.
Which, you know, for a lot of folks, is just basic stuff.
Right. That's one of the reasons that we often tell them, you might want to try Linux on that old box.
Yeah.
Linux is free. You've already got the machine. Why not? And just real quickly, I'll talk about this a little more later. Or I guess I'll talk about it. No, I got time. I'm going to be giving a talk at the Rochester Computer Society this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Pittsford Library. It's going to be all about Linux. So if you're there, come and join me. We are going to take a break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. The mighty Glenn Lamberts is in to do whatever it is the mighty Glenn Lamberts
what
actually does.
What house is he coming from?
I don't know. His house has a little quarter moon.
Oh, okay. I saw that one.
How did you know where I was?
That's exactly it. We knew. So we're going to take a break. It's 28 minutes after the hour. And you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
A non-GM vehicle. Drive WHAM.
Who is that?
You guys are like, it's REM.
Well, I couldn't come up with anything better.
I've never heard that tune by.
I searched for Easter and Bunny and Hop, and I came up with nothing.
Well, happy Easter, happy end of Passover, happy Buddha's birthday, assuming you celebrate any of those. We're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 33 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbite.
I couldn't even find the Bunny Hop. You know that song?
Yeah.
I couldn't even find that one.
Up and down the bunny trail. Here comes Peter Cotton. Come on, you know this.
No, it's not that one. The
I know which one you're talking about. I'm saying it could have been anything.
Oh, good.
What do rabbits have to do with Easter anyway? Oh, I'm sorry. I had to throw that in.
That's right. Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
smart pills?
Apple Wednesday released revealed that their Mac Pro desktop model can now be configured with two quad-core Intel Xeon processors, giving you an 8-core Mac Pro. They are advertising the Mac Pro, which features two quad-core 5300 series processors that can run up to 3 gigahertz. They first announced they would offer two dual-core Intel processors on August 6th, and on their website they do offer that. They run at 2 megahertz, 2.66 megahertz, or gigahertz, and 3 gigahertz. The retail price for a standard Mac Pro on the company's website with two 2.66 gigahertz Xeon dual-core processors and 1 gig of memory is $24.99. The new quad-core configuration adds another $1,500 to that price. They did not indicate which specific Xeon quad-core processors the Mac Pro would use. So that's pretty neat. The Mac Pro also features a double-wide 16-lane PCI Express graphics slot, and it can support up to 8 displays, according to Apple's website. So that's a pretty powerful little system. It's going to cost you a bucket of change. But for those who need it, guys like our friend Mr. Mancuso would appreciate that, I think.
One thing I got to tell folks, excuse me, is, you know, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago where you were out about how we've recovered data off of this one machine and I'd post the pictures. Well, we finally got them up on our website. If you go to enrightpc.com and you go under data recovery, you folks, if you don't believe me about the batteries being recalled in a laptop, take a look at those pictures. They're not fake. That was an actual machine that came into our shop, and we were able to get the data off of it. So let me know what you think about it. I mean, it is kind of remarkable that, you know, the whole house didn't go up in flames when you see those pictures.
Yeah, they're quite astonishing.
I mean, amazed. You know, because we hear, you know, we've read news articles about how they've caught on fire but have never seen one.
Right.
But to see what this could happen, and it could happen to anybody.
It is astonishing.
Yep.
And you guys got all the data off. That's the most astounding. Wait till you see these pictures, you will be astounded to find Dave got all the
I was pretty happy with that.
And quickly, just before we go back to whoever's next, I do want to say, I guess I got cut off earlier for those of you who are listening on the web. This coming Tuesday night, April 10th, I will be giving a talk at the Rochester Computer Society in, at the Pittsford Library, 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 10th. I will be talking about Linux. I will be demonstrating it, showing what it does, how it works, how it's the same, how it's different, how cool it is, blah, 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 blah. So I'll talk about that again a little more later, but that's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Pittsford Library. That's for the Rochester Computer Society.
At the old RCSI PC Cubed.
And the old Frog.
Yeah.
Computer Society. Yeah, they merged.
Whoa.
You were president of PC Cubed for about 100 years.
Yeah.
I actually started the Frog Computer Society.
Yeah.
They merged and are now the RCSI.
So long ago.
So that's pretty neat. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Kurt from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Kurt. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I've got a Toshiba flash drive, one gig, and it was running great. It just stopped running, working. I've tried it in various machines, five, six different
computers. Did you accidentally bend or pull on, you know, as you insert it into
the... Yeah, it looks like it's in mint shape.
So, that part that you plug into the USB, that's not built, bent or twisted or moves rather easily?
I mean, when it seems to insert like it always does. It doesn't
but is it
have
straight?
A lot of play to it. No.
Okay. Because I had one client literally try to, on the run, pull a flash drive out and pulled up on it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things here. First, flash drives are good for a huge number of reads, like 30 million or some silly number, but they do sometimes break. It could also be that you zapped it in some way with static.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Particularly in this weather, that's likely. I see a lot of people wandering around with the little plastic caps off the end.
Yeah, no, I'm good about that.
Or they got near a magnet.
Or it got near a magnet. But
field.
But the deal here is that if you do spend a lot of time with it off the thing, that's a real problem. That you can get a lot of static. But even in your case, just, you know, if you brushed your foot on the floor while you were taking it in and out, particularly in this weather, with it being so dry, that's a real problem. So,
it's
likely
said,
just gone.
Yeah, that being said, if it's not operational, is there a way to pull the data off of it?
It depends.
Okay.
Yeah, you can bring it to a guy like Dave, and he can try to make it happen. The moral of this story for everybody else listening is, don't put your only copy of anything on a flash drive.
Yeah, back it up at least a couple different places.
Right.
If it's that important and vital.
It's a great way to transport stuff, but it's not a great way to store stuff.
Yep.
It just isn't. All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you on the greatest computer show in the known universe. 39 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Now you can hear Wham more easily at work. Listen to WHAM at wham1180.com.
See, now you're finding stuff you like.
You said you're digging?
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Where was your Easter basket hidden?
This year, they were not hidden.
Yeah.
I was sick. Amelia is sick. So we just set out the baskets. But for years and years, I hid my wife's basket in exactly the same place every single year. And she's going to kill me when I get home. And she's going to call any minute now. And she never found it. Every single
year. Well, because you don't think it's going to be in the same place as it was last year.
Yeah. Well, but the point is, every single year, you'd think she'd catch on eventually. And the first year Amelia could really walk, we hung it from the shower head.
Oh.
In the bed. She even looked. She opened the curtain. She looked. Her head was right under it, you know, another inch, and it would have brought
her. Looked straight up.
And she never looked up. It's pretty funny.
Oh.
Where was your basket hidden?
In the snow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, this weather.
Yeah, it is.
They're saying that it's colder today, and we've got more snow today than we did on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I bet.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand this. I'm in the hospital, and we had 2 weeks of great weather.
Right.
And now I'm out, and we get this?
It's planned that way.
I understand. Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's important to know. All right.
No.
All right. We're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Mike from Victor, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Morning, gentlemen. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
All right. I called once before, but I didn't really get the gist of it. How do I go about changing the system name and the username and all that? And will that negate my Windows registry, the XP? Because I actually found the computer. Somebody was tossing it away, and, you know, I just revamped it and upgraded it. And now I'm worried about maybe someone being able to get access when I go on the net.
Right.
I'd like to change all that around. How do I go about doing that?
You can make a new username.
Yeah.
And depending on how all the software was installed.
Yeah, how it was set up.
It's XP.
I'm talking about things like Office and all of that stuff.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to talk about the legality of all of this, as to whether or not it's all legal, because I'm not a lawyer, and every time I say something, I get 200 emails, half of which agree with me and half of which call me an idiot and speculate on my ancestry, so I don't really care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's between you and the police. I don't care.
Yeah.
But in terms of actually running it, what you need to know is if the software was installed universally, that is to say by the administrator so that everybody could run it, adding a new username simply means that you now don't have access to, for example, your old bookmarks and things, but everything else will run. If it was set up so that only that user could run those things, then you will not be able to run them.
Yeah. As in the administrator? Is that what you're referring to?
If the user is set up as an administrator.
Yeah, I set it all up. I actually found the XP software along with it. Somebody just tossed everything out. They upgraded it, and I was like, hey, I'll recycle it. And I installed the XP and everything on it. So I pretty much installed everything and got all the software.
Oh, so you...
If you installed it all from scratch, you're good to go. Not a problem.
I just want to change, like I said, I didn't go through it first like I should have and change the network and the username or the system.
You can go change that, no problem.
I just, because I still want to be able to get the automatic updates and whatnot online.
Yeah, that none of that matters.
Right. Okay, so next question,
Your best bet is to not run as the administrator.
Okay.
Create a username for yourself. Make yourself and then make yourself. The best way to do it is to make yourself a regular user.
Like, can I use one of my kids' account? You know how you got the.
Sure. Yeah. And then you can run as that person all the time and only become the administrator when you need to do administrative things.
Okay, but how does that? I still don't know how I can go in and change the system name and all that. How do I? Do I need to get a program to do that, or can I just go in?
No, you can go in under the control panel under system,
okay.
And that's where you can rename the computer. You can also change the work group.
Oh, beautiful!
All right,
and like I said, I just didn't want to negate anything, any type of.
No, that's not negate anything.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
Like you're talking about all the
right
patents and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, none of that.
No, that'll all be okay.
All righty. All righty. Thank you. Our next caller is Guy from Greece, New York. Welcome, Guy. What's your question?
Gary?
Yeah. Sorry, Gary.
Sorry, Gary. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
And the same to you.
I've got a problem with Firefox.
Yep.
I consistently get pop-up ads, and I think I know where the problem's coming up. I downloaded a site called Dizzler.com. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Is that legal?
Well, it's certainly legal. I would get rid of it if I were you.
Yeah.
Okay,
spyware.
Spyware, good. That's what I figured.
Yeah.
I'm getting two particular ones called c5.zito.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Registrar.com or something.
Right, and you need to just get rid of that that thing you downloaded. Right. Just completely delete it. Then, I'm sorry, but you should then dance the security tango.
Okay.
Because I'll guarantee you, when you delete this thing, it won't get rid of everything.
Right.
So you'll want to dance the full security tango from top to bottom. That's at securitytango.com. and go to the Let's Dance button, print out that page, and follow each and every step from top to bottom. And that'll do it for you. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. No Steve Ray. We don't have Steve Ray.
He's MIA.
He's MIA. Rob Linton, Mina Francesco, and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, we're Soundbites. All right, kiddies. It's time once again. Get on your footy jammies. Grab your teddy bears. Get your little hot cocoa. Sit in a circle around the rocker. And if we can slap them awake, it's story hour with Uncle Dave.
Hey,
Uncle
folks.
Dave?
Hey, folks.
Uncle Dave?
All right. You know, each week we get folks that, you know, we hear them about upgrading computers and everything else. And, of course, if you go to the Soundbites webpage, we've got a link where you can donate working computers. A lot of you folks have computers that, you know, just aren't working. They're not worth it. And I don't really want to see, you know, just throw them out in the trash. Yes, you can throw them in your dumpster and all that and add to the landfill. Well, right now, the city of Rochester is going to have a free event on April 21st, if you didn't see this already, again, from 9 a.m. to 2 at the Monroe County Transfer Station. You can donate or drop off all your old computer equipment that's not, you know, working, or, to be quite honest with you, it's, you know, will serve as a good doorstop. Now, you know, if you've got equipment like that that just, you know, it'd be an insult to, you know, even try to offer it to somebody else because it just wouldn't work. It's an old 386 or an old Pentium that, you know, just isn't worth it. You want to call 753-7600 and make an appointment to get, you know, get rid of all that old computer equipment that's, you know, just collecting dust, just isn't working. You wouldn't even give it to your best friend because it's just that old and slow. You know, instead of throwing it out to the landfill and just, you know, causing more pollution and everything else, because some of these things, I mean, I've seen even some folks try to sneak old monitors because now everybody's going to flat panel displays. Well, these old tubes, you know, you throw those into a landfill. Those are gases in that.
There's a lot of toxic substances in all of these components.
I mean, the circuit boards and everything else. Well, this you know, transfer station will literally take the time to break it all down, separate it, so it goes to the proper areas where it can be melted down properly, and the end waste won't, you know, contaminate our landfills, because, you know, it's becoming a big problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, folks, if you really have this equipment and it's not worth it, again, look into donating. It's coming up on April 21st, but you got to call 753-7600 to make an appointment. You know, and it's really worth it. But if you got other stuff that's worth it, because I've been having a number of folks upgrading to the new Vista that have these older machines that are still usable, check our website. We do have a link. Yes, you got to look around.
It's under the links tab, not that hard to find.
Yeah, well, you know, I get a number of folks that still email us, well, where do I donate it? It's not on your webpage. Yes, it is. You just got to take some time to look around,
yeah, right.
And it's there. So, you know.
So give them that number one more time.
Yeah, it's 753-7600 to make an appointment to drop your old computer stuff off at Monroe County Transfer Station. This is for stuff that just isn't worth, you know, using anymore.
But you don't want to throw it away because of all the toxic chemicals that are in all the components.
Yeah, you don't want to add that into our landfills.
All right, kiddies, that's it for Story Hour for Uncle Dave. Put away your jammies and your teddy bears. Wash out your cups. We're going to give Uncle Dave his injection now and just let him nap for another week, and we'll see him next week here on the show. But before we disappear completely, I do want to remind you one more time, because I don't know how many times this has gotten cut off for those of you listening on the web. I will be giving a talk this Tuesday night, April 10th, at the Rochester Computer Society. That'll be at the Pittsburgh Library at 7 o'clock, 24 State Street, Pittsburgh Library, 7 o'clock. I'll be talking about Linux. I'll be demonstrating what it does and how it works and how nifty it really is. There are... There's a lot of interest in it nowadays, and I'll be demonstrating that. We're going to take a break, but we will be back. The mighty Glenn Lamberts will be in to give us the news. He was General Lamberts earlier, but I always thought of him more as an Admiral Lamberts. I don't know which branch he is. He's always been that Barnacle Bill kind of guy to me. And we'll be back on the other side of the news and the weather and the sports and all the things you really listen to Wham for. It is 59 minutes after the hour. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright, Rob Linton. You're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. We'll be back on the other side of all of this stuff. So keep on listening to 1180 WHAM. Woo! Back in a while.
News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. I don't know that I've ever actually seen anyone melt down on the air quite that way before.
Oops.
Do you know what happened in here?
Do we really want to? No, all I saw was the screaming and the yelling. Luckily, there's a big glass window here. Yeah.
I told Glenn that between him and I, we both equal about three quarters of a person today. I think we are both just a mess.
Well, you see, for whatever reason, I'm coming to the end of the shift. I mean, I've done my last newscast right now. Maybe yeah, forever, I don't know. But
you didn't get the memo?
I just crumpled up my sports sheet. I have a sheet with the sports scores on it.
Sure,
and the weather.
Sure.
And I crumpled it up and threw it away before it was time to do the sport. he hit the little sounder there, you know, and I said, play a commercial.
No, that's not what you said. I read your lips. I know what you said. And it was a lot shorter than that.
No, I never use the word that rhymes with truck. Now stop.
Yeah, I know that. Right.
Ooh, that's right. A little racy there. Where did he go?
He left. He's gone. I get to do my stuff here,
you know,
is what I'm going to do.
That's why we keep that long lead on him.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he's got to come back.
We'll
just reel it back in. Yeah.
All right. Judge, this week's poll. We do all kinds of stuff on our website, including a poll every week. We do this poll. Last week's poll was about the new AVG anti-spyware program. We all know AVG is an antivirus company. They also have an anti-spyware program. 318 of you voted, making it number 133 on the all-time hit list. Thank you. And the question was, have you tried the new AVG anti-spyware program? 36% of you said no, 31% of you said yes, 12% said I'm going to soon, 8% said the Linux, 6% said the Macintosh, 3% said I'm going commando, and 11 of you said AVG what?
Yeah, well, it shows that, you know, it's starting to get out there, and like I said, you know, it's starting to show some good promise as another tool.
Yeah.
Just as another tool is what we're trying to offer.
It's just
folks.
A tool. That's exactly right. This week's poll is about Vonage. A U.S. District Court judge on Friday barred VoIP, Voice over IP, or VoIP provider Vonage Holding Corporation from signing up new customers after the company lost a patent infringement lawsuit to Verizon Communications, Inc. Judge Claude Hilton of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia denied Vonage's request to stay an injunction pending its appeal of a patent infringement ruling. On March 8th, a federal jury had found that Vonage infringed three Verizon patents and must pay $58 million in damages plus royalties. Hilton issued a permanent injunction against Vonage in late March, but delayed its implementation while considering Vonage's request for a stay. Current customers will not be affected by the injunction. A Vonage spokeswoman said Friday that the company is still evaluating Hilton's ruling and that the company would release a statement later. A Verizon spokesperson said that the company also would release a statement later on Friday, neither of which I have actually seen at this point. But the point here is that Vonage is currently barred from signing up new customers because they infringed on some patents that belong to Verizon. So the question this week in this week's poll, remember if you're already using it, you are not affected. So the question is, I use Vonage, and the choices are yes, no, but I like their song. I use a different voiceover IP provider, and Von Who. So far, we have 92 votes in the poll. 42% of you said no, but I like their song. 37% Von Who. 18% said I use a different voiceover IP, a different VoIP. And only two of you have said yes, which kind of makes it moot. When you're done making your choice in the poll, of course, you will see down at the bottom a yellow box. If you click on the Give Us Your Opinion link, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
You ain't kidding. And you'll be able to put in some an actual opinion. We know that just clicking on a button doesn't do it for your folks. So you're able to put in up to 255 characters, that is to say fewer than 256 characters, of an opinion. And so far we've got 11 opinions, none of which are from people who actually use Vonage. So there's that. But I have a friend who uses Vonage. It's very clear. It's very clean when I talk to him. It seems to be pretty nice. So, you know, that's all to the good. But that's our question of the week. As long as you're at the Ask Nick website, that's AskNick.com.
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
All righty then. Very nice.
Yeah.
But at AskNick.com, you can check out my newsletter. I, of course, have forums where I answer questions all week long. If you're a member, you can search through the newsletter for old questions and answers to your problems. And there's all kinds of neat stuff there. And then come back to soundbites.org and check out all the stuff that's there. There are also forums and FAQs and links and all kinds of stuff. Of course, you too can shop in the Soundbite shop and collect all things Soundbite and show your loyalty as a loving member. Those of you particularly who are overseas should really at least buy one visible item, a bag or a cap or something like that, just so that you can start getting other people to listen to Soundbite. You'll get a lot of, I can't do the Scooby sound. But then that gives you the opportunity to talk about sound bites and how wonderful it is. All right. What?
I got to think about this. For one of our military folks overseas, if they, you know, if we could get a picture of them wearing one of the sound bites T-shirts or something like that.
In fact, send us a picture of you wherever you are wearing a sound bites item, and we will put that on the website. I've been thinking about changing the entire Soundbites website over to
might even
another
send
product.
Them, you know, if they actually have a Soundbites T-shirt or item,
hat, mug,
something like that,
bag,
send them like a jump drive or something.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know that we're going to be able to afford all those.
No. I'm saying for military people.
Oh, for military people, I'll send them anything. That's not a problem. But anybody who's wearing a Soundbites item, send it in. We'll stick it up on the website. Send it to Nick@soundbites.org. Send that picture to me, and I'll make sure it gets up on the website. Make sure you let me know who you are and where you are, and in case it's not terribly clear in the picture, what item you're wearing.
Yeah, you got to be able to see it clearly. You know, I mean, especially for the military folks, you know, I'd consider doing that.
Absolutely. For the military folks, we'll find some little prize we can send to them.
Yeah.
But not for everybody else. Sorry.
No,
that's the way it works. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, hell, they're putting their lives on their own.
That's right, so we can put a few bucks in the mail.
We're sitting here in a comfortable studio doing the show, and they're out there risking their lives. Yeah.
God bless each and every one of them. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim in Greece, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I have been backing up to our external hard drive, USB 2.0, and all of a sudden, my computer doesn't recognize it anymore.
What happens if you try it on another machine?
Well, I haven't tried it on another machine.
That's the first thing to do so that we can rule out whether it's the drive itself or the computer. There's also the question of could it be the cable?
I've tried two cables,
All right, then you need to try the drive on another machine. Does it When you plug it in, does it light up? Does it sound like the drive is spinning up?
Yes.
But the machine just doesn't recognize that it's connected?
That's right.
I would definitely, you know, because...
And I don't see anything in the device manager that says anything's wrong.
I would try it on another machine, you know, take it over, because the minute you plug it into another machine, you know, it should say, oh, found this new device, and be able to see it.
Will do.
Yeah, and that's the first thing to try. If it doesn't show up on the new machine, then the problem is definitely that hard drive.
I started the narrowing of it down to what to search next.
Right, but if it does show up on that machine, then it's probably a driver or something else. Give us a call back next week. Let us know one way or the other, and we can go from there.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play detective. And,
right.
You know, sometimes it's just not clear cut.
Right. Our next caller is Bill from Marion, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Listen,
that was an easy question. Thanks.
I like those.
Yeah. I got Windows Vista, and I want to run that ABG spyware.
Mm-hmm.
And when I install it on there, it tells me that the application fails to start.
Yeah.
You know any tricks for that, or?
I don't know if that's compatible yet with Vista.
They say there's a new version that is.
Yeah.
Did you download the latest version?
Yeah, I've tried to download it like, you know, 5 or 6 different times. Plus, I turned my Windows Defender off, you know, just thinking maybe that's hindering it. But
I think they're still running into some issues with it. I know the Adware and the SpyBot will run.
Yes, I run that currently.
Yeah.
Plus I run the ABG antivirus, and that works good with it.
Yep. I would hold off on the spyware yet. I mean, like anything else right now, there's so much new stuff out there that they're trying to get it to work with Vista, and they're having their issues.
Now, there is a product called Avast, AVAST.com.
Okay.
I know that works under Vista because I've been running it.
Okay.
It is also a free version.
Is that as good as ABG? Or?
I have not fully tested it yet, but in all the tests that I managed to do before I got sick, it was great.
Yeah, but he's got ABG antivirus working. It was the spyware program that he's having the issue with.
Right, and Avast does all of that. It does antivirus, it does spyware, it does all kinds
does
of stuff.
Oh, does it? Cool. I have to check
so
it out.
So you might be able to give that a try as well. But as long as the ABG spy antivirus is working for you, hang on to that and just run the other product, SpyBot, and you should be fine. We're going to take another break back in just a couple minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
It's 24 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For my radio now, or my phone.
Yeah.
So when you call, it was going to the default music, and my wife and everybody kept saying, you've got to change it.
Yeah.
So I went online and found that tune, and now
mine has an old-fashioned phone ring. It's so cool.
Well, this is, when you go to call me, it quick flips over to this song.
Cool.
Yeah.
I do want to say about Avast, it does not seem to do anti-spyware, but it does everything antivirus. You should take a quick look at it. It's pretty astonishing, actually. In the meantime, I'm sure you guys reported on this last week or the week before, the U.S. Internal Revenue Service may not be doing a very good job of encrypting their data on their laptops, but they do have a way to recover their lost equipment. Nearly 500 IRS laptops went missing in the 3 years between 2003 and 2006, according to the agency that oversees the IRS, called the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. I had no idea that there was an oversight committee, an oversight organization for the IRS. I think that's amazing. But they've lost about 500 laptops with, of course, data on them, people's data, which is not that good. They did a report that said about half of the laptops that they tested had unencrypted sensitive data relating both to our IRS employees and taxpayers. The report's conclusion, well, they left a little room for guesswork there because they entitled the memo, "The Internal Revenue Service is not adequately protecting taxpayer data on laptop computers." However, the cool thing is the agency has combined video technology with specialized software to keep track of some of their PCs. The IRS uses video over internet technology to remotely operate surveillance cameras on its premises. It also has special software that lets IRS PCs notify government agencies if the computer goes missing. So if you steal a laptop from the IRS, when you boot it up, it makes a connection if it can, wirelessly or wired, and phones home. Lets everybody know where it is, which I think is a pretty good deal. It's a company called Absolute Software, Inc. It's extremely difficult to remove. It can not only report the location of a stolen computer, it can also be used to wipe data from a machine after it's been stolen. So that's pretty nifty. You know, you can set it so that if it boots up and somebody tries to do something with it, it just disappears. Boom, gone. Oh, well. All right, our next caller is Sandra from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Sandra. What's your question?
Yes, I'm trying to connect to TurboTax, and I'm having a problem. I can connect to, I have an AOL dial modem, and I just had my machine in today's, and I picked it up on the 30th. So I could do my taxes. Well, now I can't do my taxes because it won't connect to TurboTax.
Will it connect to other places?
It will connect to other places. I danced the tango 4 times yesterday.
Yeah. And, wow.
Now
hold on a second. It connects everywhere but TurboTax.
Correct.
Does it get an error message?
The error message, yes, it does. The error message is HTTP arrow 12007 connecting to www.microsoft.com. The error name or address could not be resolved, and then I keep on getting FTP passive error 12007 connecting to FTP Microsoft. Zero name address could not be resolved, and that keeps on coming up and coming up. And
but you're getting connected to say like AOL or any of those.
I am getting connected to AOL.
All right. So once you get connected using the AOL software, if you open up, say, Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Open up Internet Explorer, and from there, try to go to the Quicken.
I've tried that. It doesn't work because something keeps on shutting me down. Even though I'm offline, the zone alarm that I have, I see that flashing, and I've deleted all the... I think, can my machine be... Being used by somebody else?
Well, it's certainly a possibility,
One other thing, though, Sandra.
Yeah.
A question for you. Because you're using the AOL software to get on AOL, correct?
Correct.
Now, on your Internet Explorer, by chance, is that version 7.0?
Yes, it is.
That's why you've got the problem. Quicken came out the minute Internet Explorer 7.0 came out and said, do not try to attempt to get to our website using Internet Explorer 7.0. It will not work.
Okay.
So what you've got to do is in the Add Remove Programs, uninstall Internet Explorer 7.0.
Okay. That will bring you back to six,
and that will work with Quicken.
Okay. Now Dan did not. I don't have System Restore on.
Yeah.
It's still off. Okay.
But that doesn't matter.
Is it okay.
That's fine. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, have you heard of Borland Database Engine?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on my machine. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's absolutely okay. But, that's
a very good product, actually.
Yeah.
It's used in the background by a lot of other programs.
But that's your main problem, though, Sandra, is the minute Internet Explorer 7.0 came out, Quick put up a big, Intuit did, notification, do not download this because it won't work with their product and try to get to it. I mean, it just causes havoc. And they said, don't. I guess it'll even corrupt some of the data if you're trying to get some of the updates.
Wow. So, all right. Yeah. That's what you need to do there, Sandra. Just back off to 6 and you should be on your way.
Give it a shot. And by all means, Sandra, you know, give me a call during the week if it doesn't solve it because, you know, we stand behind what we do. And but she is getting to the Internet. So, you know, I knew it had to be something else.
Right. And that's always the tough part when you're fixing something. You test the generic, can you get to the Internet, not can I get to a specific website. Otherwise, you'd be charging them for hundreds of hours of stuff. So that's always a problem. That's always...
One other thing she brings up and I want to talk to folks about is, you know, with our Soundbite CD. You know, I've had a number of folks calling about it, and they got it because, you know, they're still, like, hurt on dial-up, and it took too long to download it in there. One of the things we got to tell you about the CD, it is not an auto-run CD. All it is a menu of, I tell you, print off this sheet, and it lists all the programs and what they'll do. I don't want to do an auto-run because some programs you might want, some you might not. I mean, granted, you know, I've got the EVG and the SpyBot and the Edaware. I've deleted the Stinger. Yes, it is no longer on the CD. I have the AVG anti-spyware software on there. But I've also included a lot of other utilities and programs that I think you might find cool. You might want to use them. You might not. So that's why I don't do an auto run. All you have to do is click on the particular program once you print out the list, and it'll tell you what it'll do for you. And you can choose whether to install it or not. We're just giving you a bunch of tools. That's all it is a bunch of tools to do not only the Tangle,
so
but
once
other
you insert
things.
The CD, you double-click on My Computer, double-click on the CD, and you'll be able to see all the programs.
See it all there.
And
there's
print
even
out that
the
readme file. Right.
And you can have it there for your future reference.
Excellent. All right, our next caller is Steve from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got a problem. Every time I turn on our PC, a window comes up, and it says CPU DRV status. And if I enlarge it, if I maximize it, it gives more information about it not being able to open VXD32.x. I didn't know. Every time I turn it on, I basically just close it, and then I continue on. It doesn't seem to present a problem, but it's kind of annoying.
Right. It's the CPU driver.
Yeah.
Seeming to be unable to manage your CPU devices. They should still work.
Yeah.
But you can't manage them in various odd ways. Now that's.
Yeah, that's.
Why? What operating system are you running?
XP.
XP?
Yeah.
It was originally 98, and I upgraded to XP.
Mm-hmm. And it's been running fine for you.
Yeah.
CPU DRV. I have never even seen that. I know it exists under Solaris and a couple of other operating systems. I didn't even know it was in XP. That's pretty interesting.
And this just started popping up recently?
No, it's been doing it for a long time, and I just been sort of, you know, pushing it on the carpet every time I boot up.
All right, when you did the updates, have you checked any drivers for the motherboard?
No.
Have you, I checked and see, since you've been having this for so long, you might want to look at some driver updates for both the, you know, the motherboard, the CD-ROM drive, or, you know, the DVD drive, whatever you have, along with video card and everything. It never hurts to, you know, have the latest and greatest drivers for those, and you know, if it's been going on and you upgraded from 98 to XP, that's what it might need is some of these updated drivers for the motherboard.
I see. Now, to get those updates, what do I do?
You just got to go to the manufacturer's website for that particular motherboard.
Right. Now, if you've got a name brand machine like, you know, whatever, Dell or whatever.
Gateway or whatever.
Gateway.
You should be able to go to their website, and there's a support place where you can put in your serial number or whatever.
All right.
And you should be able to get some information there, and it should point out all the drivers that are new.
Yeah, they'll have, you know.
Make sure they're XP drivers.
Yeah.
They've literally, both Gateway and Dell, you put in your number, and it'll ask you, all right, what operating system you're running now?
Yeah.
And it'll have the drivers for that particular system if you upgrade.
All right, great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Good luck. That's a fairly common thing, particularly when you do an upgrade like that, getting the right set of drivers for those things.
Well, anytime you go from one operating system to the other, we've always said you've got to first make sure you have all the drivers for that upgrade in place. You know, somewhere's on a hard drive or a CD that you've burned, so because you will run into issues.
Yep. All right, our next caller is Kurt from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Kurt. What's your question?
Hi, I'm in the market for a new laptop, and I'm just wondering the pros and cons on the new Vista operating system.
There's an open-ended question for you.
That's like getting into politics.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody running it, and I haven't used it myself. I use XP, and I'm just wondering whether I should stick with the XP or...
Well, if you can,
in a lot of cases,
you can't.
Right.
But here's the deal with Vista. It really is a good operating system. The problem is it's 100% different.
Yeah.
You don't know anything. When you start Vista, it's like you suddenly booted up a Mac or you booted up Linux. It's all different. Everything is in a different place. Everything looks different. It's named differently.
And some of your old software and hardware might not work.
Right. Well, if you're buying a laptop, you don't have to worry about the hardware. Because printers and scanners may not work if they're old enough. There's no Vista driver for them.
Right.
But when it comes to the hardware itself, you probably aren't buying enough hardware. Particularly in a laptop, and here's the reason. You have, you want 2 gigs of RAM. You really want that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want the biggest hard drive you can find. Now the problem becomes video. Video is almost always shared memory video in a laptop. Which means it's stealing some of the RAM from your system. The problem is that RAM, A, now you can't use that for anything you want to do. So instead of a 2 gig machine, you've got a gig and a half machine because the other half a gig is being used for video. But more importantly, you've got, what was that? I don't know. More importantly, that RAM is slower. So when you buy a laptop, make sure you get one of the very newest ones that has dedicated video. You don't want shared video. Make sure it's dedicated video.
A lot of them are running new GeForce Radeon video cards.
Right, and then you're fine. But you got to make sure that's what you're getting.
Yes.
Now, that's going to cost you extra. But that's what you get. Now, as far as Vista itself is concerned, be prepared for a fairly long learning curve. You will not be as comfortable with Vista as you are with XP for quite a while. And this is one of the things that the Mac and Linux people keep saying is, you know, you're going to have to learn a whole new machine anyway. Why don't you get A, a Mac, or B, everything free with Linux? And since you're going to learn it all from scratch, learn it new. And I can't argue with that. That's as legitimate as anything else. But as I've always said, you can run anything. You know, whether it's Linux or a Mac or Vista, it's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive. You just don't know where the controls are. So you have to learn where the controls are. So for a couple of weeks, like when you buy a new car, for a couple of weeks you're insanely frustrated. You go to turn on the radio and all of a sudden the windshield wipers are running. And it just makes you nuts for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden you've learned where everything is and you forget about it. You don't even remember that you had a problem with it. And the same thing would be true of running the Mac or running Linux or running Vista. It just, you have to be very patient for a few weeks, but eventually you'll get there. It's not a big deal. Listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Now, before we get back to the phones, don't forget, it's Patch Tuesday coming up. Microsoft announced in its monthly Patch Tuesday preview that it plans next week, well, this Tuesday, to release security updates for 5 individual product vulnerabilities, including 2 critical issues. After failing to release any patches in March and issuing a rare out-of-band fix for the highly critical Windows flaw on April 3rd, the software maker reported that it will drop 4 additional updates for its flagship operating system, along with a bulletin meant to address a problem in its content management server. One of the Windows updates, along with the content management server fix, has been affixed with the critical rating by Microsoft, the company's most severe security vulnerability designation. So those of you who are a little behind on your updates, you might want to catch up, and you definitely don't want to miss Microsoft's monthly visitor this coming Tuesday. It is very important. The real problem, of course, is there are at least 3 known vulnerabilities in Office, including a code execution in Word that's already been exploited and reported publicly since at least mid-February that are not fixed. But at the very least, you should absolutely have those updates if you're a Windows user. All right. Before we get to the phones, one more time, let me just remind you that this Tuesday night, April 10th, I will be at the Rochester Computer Society giving a talk on Linux. That's Tuesday, April 10th, 7 p.m. at the Pittsburgh Library. You may have heard other libraries. That's wrong. It's the Pittsburgh Library at 24 State Street, 7 p.m. I'll be talking about Linux. So if you've been interested in what it's about and what it does, come on down and we'll sit and we'll talk and we'll play and it'll be kind of fun. All right, now back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry on a cell phone. Welcome, Larry. What's your question?
Hi. Well, the short version is I've been unsuccessful at trying to reinstall IE6 on my XP home machine. I originally tried taking it off because IE7 snuck in there. I took that off, but it left a few tidbits behind, you know, messing with things. So I followed the instructions, but now when I try to reinstall IE6, it just basically says it can't proceed because there's an existing version on there. I don't know if you've heard of this one or not.
Yeah, what you can do is reinstall Windows over Windows.
Oh, okay, that's the one thing. Okay, I was afraid of that.
Now, just remember, everything will still be there. In other words, when you put the CD in and it installs, the first screen you're going to sit there and says to reinstall, repair or install. You hit install. After you get through, it finds all the hardware, and you got to hit the F8 for the agreement. The second screen, the next time you see install or repair is when you select repair. So it's the second time. After you hit the license agreement, you'll see repair option down at the bottom. If you select repair, it will install Windows over Windows. On any of your programs, you know, that were previously installed will still be there, and everything will work still fine.
I'll be real clear. This is a gateway, which I think has got one of those proprietary disks in it, you know, so it just rewrites everything.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
Before you do this,
you definitely want to make sure you backed up everything twice and tested the backup.
For sure.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you're doing the backup, though, Larry, use the file and transfer settings program.
Okay.
That will create you create a temporary folder. That way you'll save all your emails, all your documents, all your desktop settings, and everything else, that if by chance it does wipe it out,
yes.
You know, when you do it, if you put this CD or DVD back in, if, you know, you do the file and transfer settings, you burn it to CD or DVD. Now, if you have to do a wipe out and put it back in, you put you run the file and transfer program again on this fresh install, and you say, yep, this is the new machine, and yeah, the file is over here on the DVD. It will pull in all your emails, your documents, and your settings. Programs you'll have to reinstall.
That part I understand. This file and transfer program is underneath one of the computer hardware.
If you go into under programs, accessories, it's okay. In there.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
All righty. Our next caller is Roger. From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi. I was wondering if Vista comes with a tutorial, the way XP under accessories, XP has a reasonable tutorial. I was wondering if Vista had something similar to that.
Yes.
Oh, it does?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But I did understand on one of your previous programs that if I was to install Vista over XP, there was no way I could go back to XP again?
Yep.
Well, of course, you can always wipe out the whole system.
But it inactivates. If you do it online,
right.
It inactivates your current license number that you have for XP. And you try to go back, and it says, no, this license is no longer valid because you canceled it out with upgrading to Vista.
Right. So, once you go, you can't go back. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 54 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. Our next caller is Mike from Parenton, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I have a question with Windows XP Professional. I switched from 2000 Professional to XP,
mm-hmm.
And I've had this problem where I open documents with applications, and it says that it's read-only, and when I look at the attributes of the folders of anything that there's documents in, the read-only attribute is kind of gray checked. I did a little research and found that this is a known problem, and the only solution they can talk about is placing folders at the root level of the C drive and then putting in this really obscure thing in the system, what do you call it, where the, well, they tell you never to go.
Registry?
Yes. But it can only fix folders at very low levels of the hard drive. It doesn't work in, you know, if you want to put it in My Documents. Have you ever had an experience with this?
Yes, we have. You're absolutely right. This is a known problem when it comes to upgrading that way. You can fix it if you right-click on a folder. One of the choices, I don't have it in my head. Hold on, we're trying to find. Open me a folder somewhere, anywhere. Yeah, right-click on that. Sharing and security. Under security, you can pick a person, right, anybody,
okay. And
then you can give them, for example, full control. Just click allow for full control.
There's also, under that same program window, there's an advanced. And you can turn the user, under advanced, you can go owner and turn full control, make sure you've got full control.
And then you can also set that for all the subfolders, which they call child objects. There's a checkbox for replace permission entries on all child objects.
So that your ID, you can take over full control. Because
is this something that's somewhere listed on your website?
Not yet.
No, and trying to describe all this, you know.
Yeah, I'll work on getting something up, but it's not. Basically, right-click, select sharing and security. Under security, select full control. Click advanced and check replace permissions for all child objects and hit OK.
Yeah, it's...
I hate to make it...
That's something I like, you know, advising folks over the air to do or trying to walk them through it because it affects the way the computer's going to operate.
Right.
To be honest with you... Not that I don't like doing it, but I don't also want to be responsible for messing up their machines because of they didn't do the instructions correctly or... Yeah.
Right. All right. Sorry to be a little vague about that.
Yeah,
well, that'll get you right to it. Isn't that vague? It'll get you right to
it.
All right. I think we've got time very quickly for Jim from Rochester. Jim?
Having the computer fixed, got the new license. Can I use that on another computer?
No, not legally.
Can I? Will it cause problems with the one that it's installed on?
Yeah. No. The one that you got it installed on, see, that's already registered with Windows. And, you know, having it on the other one, you try to install it on there. It's only good for 30 days, and it won't let you activate it because it's already active on another computer.
So the short answer is no. You can only use an XP license on one machine. All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Rob Linton, for keeping us on the straight and narrow as much as he's ever been able to do that. That was this one. One last time, I want to remind you that I will be at the Pittsburgh Library Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, talking about Linux for the Rochester Computer Society. Love to see you all there to join me, and we'll all have fun together. We will be back here, of course, next week at the same time. I want to just personally say how delighted I am to be out of bed, up and about, and doing things. We are the world's greatest computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.